Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
58 Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Tucker Bagley's behind the glass. You guys with us. 215-592-9494. That is how you get aboard as we react to the Phillies off of an opening day victory yesterday. The defense was made a ton of big plays. Aaron Nola, I thought, threw the ball really well. One mistake to Pablo Sandoval cost him there, but the bullpen, 3 1/3, scoreless innings, changed the day for the Phillies, and it's a game and really a moment that the Phillies just wouldn't have had last year. They don't win that game last year. So we're talking Phillies here on this Friday night, and my gut feeling tonight is the Phillies looked like a playoff team yesterday. That was a different, not just result, but that was a different feeling. And the last couple of years, the Phillies have had a knack for early in the season, opening day, 2018, with Kapler taking Nola out. 2020, with last year with Nola pitching and the bullpen not coming in and helping him out afterwards and losing to the Marlins. I mean, they've had a knack for early in seasons, tones that have been set kind of continue and, you know, keep coming up throughout the year. I mean, it really, the tone mattered. And it was an omen for the season. So if yesterday was an omen, I look at it like this. The Phillies looked like and felt like and pitched like a playoff team yesterday. To go against that Braves lineup and not give up a single, you know, I mean, outside of the Sandoval home run, I mean, the Phillies pitching dominated one of the best lineups in baseball with reigning MVP Freddie Freeman, with the guy in Ronald Acuna Jr. who, if you ask, you know, 100 baseball people right now, you could take one player to build a franchise around. He'd get a lot of votes. It would be Soto. It'd be him. It'd be Tatis. I mean, those would be the guys people would take. And yesterday, the Phillies pitching limited those guys, got those guys and kept them down. So I look at it and I say this. The Phillies felt to me yesterday, my gut this morning when I woke up, I forget what my head tells me and what I know their over-unders. Forget all that. My gut tells me I just watched the playoff team yesterday. I feel good about the Phillies after opening day. Agree, disagree. Gut feel on the Phillies. This team is different than years past. 215-592-9494. And, of course, we're also talking about frustrating athletes here. Ben Simmons last night, he stunk. I mean, 2 of 11 stunk from the field yesterday. When you're going 2 of 11 against the Cleveland Cavaliers, you've absolutely stunk it up. And he is even at his best, his game is frustrating. At his worst, his game is maddening. I would call Ben Simmons right now one of the most frustrating players and one of those players you want to pull your hair out when you watch them pitch. Like, that's exactly what he is. Like, when you watch him play, he is a maddening player. And also put Rhys Hoskins there. He had the defensive miscue yesterday in which he, you know, he kind of booted that ball at first base. It was pretty bad. I mean, that was a play he's got to make. It feels like he gets in his own head sometimes at first base. Instinctively, when he's got to pick the ball, he's not awful. He's got to move. It certainly becomes dicey for him over there at first base. You know, as I've watched Rhys Hoskins over the years, whether it be playing left field in 2018 or watching him play first base now, the bottom line is he's a DH. He's a DH that is playing the field. And we get, you know, we have to get used to that and deal with it until something changes here. But that's what he is. So, look, I'm feeling good about the Phillies, and I feel like we watched a playoff team yesterday. And then we got a couple sides here, throwing in the idea of frustrated players with Philadelphia sports now and in the past. And it is National Peanut Butter and Jelly Day. So when you call in, give us your ideal peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And again, the most shocking revelation in the history of this sports radio show, the Joe Giglio show is this. The evening show here since 2017 is that Tucker Bagley's never had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I mean, I just, I'm not often blown away. That fact blows me away. Let's go to the phone lines here. 215-592-9494. Scott is in Dallas on WIP. What's up, Scott?
Hey, what's going on, Joe?
How are you, buddy?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm excited for the way the Phillies started off the season. I thought Nola pitched decently well. Panda is kind of a frustrating player because he's one of those guys that will come up with the big – he just always seems to make something happen out of nothing. So I wasn't too concerned with that home run that he gave up.
Well, especially, Scott, like mistakes. I mean, I feel like for a decade now, Pablo Sandoval, when you make a mistake, that's what he hits. He's a mistake hitter.
Yeah, he's made a career off of that to where he's the last guy you want to see come up to bat when they need a big hit because you know that's the type of guy he'll bat 250 during the year, but every time they need to score a run, he's the one who's hitting it in.
Yep.
You know, and the thing that really impressed me, though, yesterday, the defense. I thought the defense was really, really good yesterday, and it was encouraging to see because everybody thinks that's going to be kind of one of our big weaknesses. I know we've talked about that a little bit.
Well, Scott, I was saying two nights ago that I think defense is their biggest weakness. Like, that's what worries me the most about this team. And then yesterday, you know, Hoskins booted the ball. But other than that, you had Bohm taking away two runs. You had the play Didi made in the ninth inning, the over-the-shoulder catch, which is better than any Eagles receiver's done in a while. And then you had, obviously, the play with Roman Quinn throwing out JT at home with the throw to home plate, throwing out the runner and JT with the block. Like, that, they made defensive plays yesterday.
Yeah, they did. And the encouraging thing to see, too, is Bryce was – he really should have had a home run yesterday. I mean, a few guys should have. That one that they caught right up the track should have been a home run if it wasn't for that win. So good to see some guys making solid contact with the ball in game one.
Well, it was. Scott, what is your ideal peanut butter and jelly sandwich?
I don't know if you remember back in grade school. They used to give us those ones that were like – they were with like graham crackers. They were cold. I used to love those things. It was like peanut butter and jelly, almost like an ice cream, or it was kind of solidified. And it was like a graham cracker crust. And, man, I could eat two or three of those.
Yeah. You mean Uncrustables? Is that what you're talking about?
That might have been what they were. I remember they would serve them at, like, when you went on field trips, yeah, and different things like that.
I think you're talking about Uncrustables. I haven't had one of those in a while, Scott, and I appreciate it, man. But I had my fair share of those. You never even had an Uncrustable, huh, Tucker?
Nah.
Now, were you offered one and turned it down?
Probably at some point.
I mean, you had to be. It's just so bizarre. Anyway, let's go to the guest line here.
Speaking of bizarre,
yeah, Elliot Shore Parks. I mean, I'm sure he's going to think this revelation about you is bizarre, among other things. Elliot Shore Parks joins us right now to talk some Eagles on a Friday night. Usually Wednesday, but he's on Friday night. Elliot, how we doing?
Doing good, doing good. You know, I'm not really surprised that Tucker hasn't had that sandwich, although I will say I'm sure Crustable goes great with a nice thing of milk. So, well, maybe in that regard, I am surprised Tucker hasn't had it.
See, people have brought that up tonight. Listeners, like, the guy that loves milk, I mean, you're going to like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. With it. Of all the things that we reveal on these shows, the fact that he's never had a PB&J is just, it blows me away.
He's never had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich?
In his life.
Tucker, that's insane. I would actually argue that a peanut butter and jelly sandwich is the most underrated of all sandwiches. It clearly is not anybody's go-to, but it's just very delicious. So, Tucker, I'm very disappointed to hear you've never had one.
So before we get to the Eagles stuff here, Elliot, what is your ideal peanut butter and jelly? So, like, you're making it. How do you make your peanut butter and jelly?
So in college, my favorite peanut butter and jelly to make was I would use three slices of bread, put one in the middle. I would do crunchy peanut butter, strawberry jelly, toast the bread, and put a little bit of the peanut butter and jelly in between each piece of bread, and then cut it in half. It was delectable. Tucker, I'd be happy to make you one, you know, if one day we're in the studio at the same time.
So, Tucker, you have two offers now. I offer the same thing. And, Elliot, I like your the triple-decker idea. So I've also offered to make him one. He's not budging. So I guess we're going to have to just eat our own peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. All right, Elliot, Eagles, there's a lot to get to here, but – let's start with the big news of the day that, you know, people could poo-poo his nonsense, but it's not. It changes a lot about the guy. Jalen Hurts is no longer number two. He is now number one. You've had some hours now to think on this. What is your take?
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned that some people would poo-poo it, but I think this is dramatic news. I mean, this was, you know, I don't want to call it a Friday news dump, but this was a big piece of news that came out. When it first came out, my initial reaction was I didn't like it. I think he looked great in number two. I like the number two. It's my favorite number. It's the number that he stole the job from Carson Wentz from. So I like Jalen Hurts in number two. That being said, with more time to think about it, I like that he took the initiative to do this. I think it shows that he knows he's the number one quarterback. He's ready to be a leader on the team. He's arguably played the best football of his life in number one when he was at Oklahoma. So I think it was a win-win. He would have been great in two. I like him in one. Let's just be happy he didn't change to number seven or eight or something like that. So ultimately, I like the move, although I did think he looked good in number two.
Yeah, and I think the number fits him and his game better. Because you go, and there's not that many, but if you look at the history of quarterbacks that have worn number one, they're all pretty exciting players. Warren Moon was kind of ahead of the time as a passer in terms of 4,000-yard seasons. Cam Newton has been a famous one. Kyler Murray now is number one. So like, there's some fun, exciting quarterbacks that people like to watch that have worn number one. I feel like that fits him better than two.
Yeah, and the other thing is, I would say, look, coming into this season, I think it's a statement about where he knows he is at. He knows he is the guy. It's his job right now. And not only just that, he's the leader of the team. As the quarterback, you have to be the leader. And I don't mean this as a knock on Carson, but Carson was not a natural leader. Carson tried to be a leader. He tried to walk into that role, but it wasn't who he was naturally. I think Jalen is much more of a natural leader. Even last year, in the limited access I got to him, you could tell he embraces that role more. So, you know, next year when they report for training camp or, if they have OTAs this offseason, his locker will probably be the first locker when you walk into the NovaCare. The locker that used to belong to Carson will probably be Jalen's now. He'll be the number one locker. So I kind of like the fact that he took the initiative to say, you know what, I'm the leader of this team. I'm the number one quarterback. Let's move to number one and make a statement about where I am with the roster.
Elliot Shore Parks joining us here, talking some Eagles. So, Elliot, a couple days ago, the pro days for Florida and for LSU, that means Ja'Marr Chase and it means Kyle Pitts got to show off their athleticism. And it's no surprise that they looked really good because they're crazy good athletes and they're going to be high picks. Do you think ultimately the Eagles are going to regret the trade they made? Because if one of those guys are there at six, you know, that we'll be talking about the comparison between who the Eagles end up with and that player forever. But there is a chance, Elliot, and I think it's a greater chance now, that whether Howie knew it or guessed it, that neither of those guys might be there at the Eagles' original pick. They could go 4-5, and it kind of changed the conversation.
Yeah, look, I understand defending Howie is not a good take to have right now. It's not the corner you want to be in. And Howie has made his mistakes. The Eagles would not be where they are at without, you know, Howie making mistakes. That being said, one thing Howie is good at is collecting information around the league and having a good read on the draft board, right? So if Howie traded out of six back to 12, I would think that means he thinks Ja'Marr Chase or Kyle Pitts is not going to be there. But you're absolutely right. If one of those players is there at six or, you know, even slides to 7, 8, 9 or, you know, God forbid the Dallas Cowboys were to draft one of them, Howie's taking that risk by moving back to 12. Now every single player that's drafted between 6 and 11 is going to be labeled as a player that Howie could have had, just much like Justin Jefferson, much like DK Metcalf. So watching them at the pro days, and yes, you're right, it's just pro days. They're great athletes. You expected them to test well, but I would be lying if I said watching those guys run, seeing the 40 times, watching the measurables, if, you know, I like the trade from 6 to 12, but seeing what they did, I'd be lying if I said it didn't make me think, man, Howie certainly took a big risk here.
Yeah, it's funny because, you know, they don't draft until 12 unless they trade back up. But we're going to be watching, like, the entire city of Philadelphia is going to be watching picks 4, 5, 6 with just, like, a different kind of feeling this year. It's like, wait, what could they have had and what did Howie trade out of? Elliot Shore Parks joining us here. Elliot, obviously mock drafts keep coming out and different players keep getting linked or potentially linked to the Eagles. One that came out this week that was interesting, or a couple actually, Micah Parsons' name, the linebacker out of Penn State who opted out last season, but obviously, you know, very highly touted linebacker. He's being mocked to the Eagles in a couple places, which, I mean, we saw this a little bit last year. Patrick Queen was. I mean, it's not, we've had mocks over the years that people thought maybe this is the year the Eagles take a linebacker. They never do it. It's since Jerry Robinson, you know, a million years ago. Do you think this could be different, or do you think this is just never going to happen because it doesn't happen around here?
Well, one difference, I think, and look, we can debate Micah Parsons as a prospect, whether he's worth a number 12 pick, whether he's not. That's a different debate. As you mentioned, the debate is, would Howie take one that high? And I think an important thing to point out is when the Eagles hired Nick Sirianni, they did it because they liked Nick Sirianni and all those things. But part of the appeal of Nick Sirianni was he brought Jonathan Gannon with him. Gannon was a former linebacker coach that comes as a defensive coordinator that had a lot of teams interested in him. So I think by bringing in Gannon, he does have a little more say than Sirianni does. I don't know if he's going to have as much as Howie, obviously. So when you talk about Micah Parsons, are they going to give Gannon that, you know, quarterback of the defense, someone that they can put in the middle, someone that could be a difference maker. I'd be surprised, but I think because of the value that they place on Gannon, there is a possibility that they could take Parsons at 12.
All right, Elliot, last one for you here. So today The Athletic had a story quoting an executive somewhere in the NFL saying that, basically the Eagles have the ammunition. They're kind of in the driver's seat. If Russell Wilson gets traded, maybe next year they could pull this off. I mean, this is the same kind of rumor we keep hearing, whether it's Watson, if he's eligible to play and everyone's comfortable with whatever happens down there, or Russell Wilson. And, Elliot, I mean, if you can get those quarterbacks, of course you should be interested in those quarterbacks. But I've started to think about this. This story is not going away. It probably won't go away all next season. Do you worry that the Eagles are, in a different way, putting Jalen Hurts under the kind of pressure Carson Wentz couldn't handle last year? Like, Carson couldn't handle Jalen. And now I wonder with Jalen, like, every game next year, we're not going to be comparing Jalen to Joe Flacco, his backup, but we're going to be comparing, like, would we rather have him or trade for Russell Wilson? Like, he's going to really have to wow this city to win the city over, because there's a specter of a Hall of Fame quarterbacks they could cash him in for.
Yeah, it's a great question. I've actually been thinking about it a lot this week, because there's a narrative out there, a question of, you know, how can they commit to Jalen? Like, the Eagles have not come out and said Jalen's a starter. Howie hasn't come out and said that. Sirianni hasn't come out and said that. But what I wonder is, even if they come out and said that, like, would we believe it? Because when you think about what happened with Carson, a few weeks before they traded Carson, Howie came out and said trading him would be like cutting off one of his fingers, right? Carson had a max level contract. Carson, there's a huge banner of him on the outside of Lincoln Financial Field. They could not have been more committed to Carson than they were, right? And he's gone because he wanted out. So I just wonder, to your point, you're right. They have not shown a high level of commitment to Jalen. That next season, when he struggles, there will be talk. Like, should they trade for Russell Wilson? Is Deshaun Watson a possibility? I just don't think at this point there's anything they could say or do that will change that. So will he be able to handle it? We'll find out, right? We'll find out how he plays. We'll find out how he deals with it. I just don't think there's any avoiding that, because right now the Eagles do not have a quarterback that they're fully committed to by trading Carson. They know that they have an open job there. And right now it is Jalen's, and I think he's going to win it. I know me and you are on the same page on being high on him, but he has to go out and prove it. And I don't think anything they say or do is going to change the fact that each time he struggles, there's going to be talks about whether or not he'll be back.
Yeah, it's going to be all year, and it's going to be amazing to follow. Elliot, always appreciate you hopping on. Have a good night. Have a good weekend. And what are we now, 3.5 weeks until the NFL draft?
Yeah, I think right about that. I can't wait. It's certainly going to be exciting. Say what you will about the Eagles, but they always keep it exciting.
Always. Elliot, have a great weekend. We'll talk soon.
Sounds good. Talk to you later, Joe.
There he goes. Elliot Shore Parks of 94WIP.com, the Goldbergs podcast. Him and James did an emergency podcast today with Jalen Hurts changing his number. I mean, that is commitment.
That's very on brand.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you have to. I mean, when big news breaks around the Eagles, we're going to talk about it. Doesn't it just feel like Jalen Hurts looks and plays like a one? And I don't mean quarterback one. I mean number one. Number two was weird. Like, I thought there was something unique about it, that maybe it could be his kind of number, right? Like, that he runs with that, and that's his number. And he's Jalen Hurts number two. But there was something off about number two. Like, it's not a quarterback number. It really hasn't been. There's not many quarterbacks that have worn number two. Number one, I mean, I went through the list today, right? You could look up a list of players that have worn every number in the NFL, and then you kind of sort it by their position. So I looked today at the numbers, and I would say when you look at the guys that have worn number one over the years, it is a pretty, I would call it a pretty exciting group of quarterbacks outside of maybe one or two. Like, I'm going to pull it up right now. So here are the quarterbacks over the years that have worn number one. And when I looked at the list, my first thought was, these are exciting players. Like, Jalen Hurts, I think he's an exciting player. There's a chance to be a really exciting player. Here are the quarterbacks that have worn number one. Warren Moon, ahead of his curve as a passer, exciting. Cam Newton, obviously exciting and an MVP. Kyler Murray is off to a great start as an exciting quarterback. There is one that doesn't fit the bill, though. You know who else wore number one? Jeff George. Supposed to be exciting. Ended up just thinking. He just stunk. The other players that wore number one, mostly punters and kickers. It's really over the history of the NFL, as I look through the two is also a number one. I think he's not going to be any good, but he's a quarterback and he's young and he's number one. Really, it's quarterback and kickers that have worn number one over the years. Warren Moon, Cam Newton, and then So I'm sorting by value, like the value they had in their career.
The approximate value?
Yeah, on Pro Football Reference. So the top five number ones in terms of approximate value, and really it's after the first three or four, it's like Kyler Murray's going to join this top five in a year. So it's Warren Moon. He has the most. Then it's Cam Newton. Then it's Gary Anderson.
Oh, my.
Jason Elam and Garo Yepremian, the kicker. So there's the last three are kickers. Gary Anderson, Jason Elam, and Yepremian. So that means Kyler Murray is only like, I don't know, a season? He might be a season or two away from going into the top five. So Jalen Hurts has a chance here to be one of the more infamous number ones in NFL history. And how about the juxtaposition that Hurts is wearing one now and Carson Wentz is wearing number two? Like Carson Wentz went and took two in Indianapolis, which Hurts had here last year. The Carson number two thing is bizarre. Did he explain why he did it? Did you hear that?
I don't know. 1 + 1 = 2. I don't know.
Yeah, well, whatever.
I mean, he wore 20 in high school. It's not like he has another number to fall back on.
I could see it just being that simple. Like, he likes 20, and he can't wear 20 because he's a quarterback. I don't know. Two, like, I lived with two with Hurts because he was a kind of a shorter running quarterback. Tall quarterbacks can't wear two.
No, like 10 would fit?
Yeah.
Maybe 12? Like, I don't know if they'd give you 12 because of Andrew Luck.
Yeah, they're kind of holding that when he comes back eventually.
Yeah, and you couldn't take 18 or 19, obviously, with that franchise. But, I mean, 17 could work. They have a lot of them out there.
Here's my first thought. So I'm going to give my first initial thought when I saw these number changes. Jalen Hurts goes to one. I feel better about his chances to be a productive and winning NFL quarterback. Carson Wentz went to two. I feel like that pick's going to be in the top 20 for the Eagles. I can't see a number two quarterback that's that tall. Leading, you know, winning 10 or 11 games. It's a bizarre number choice for him. But Hurts changes number to number one. And I do wonder what kind of price discount you get on the number two jersey now. Because, like, yesterday, if you were to go into the Eagles Pro Shop, assuming it's open, that you could go in. If you went to the Eagles Pro Shop and you picked up a Jalen Hurts jersey yesterday, it's probably full price, right? He's the starting quarterback. He's the top guy on the depth chart. It's going to cost whatever a jersey costs. I don't even know. What does an adult jersey cost these days?
I don't know, like $100?
All right. So, yeah.
$110, something like that.
All right. So yesterday, you would have bought a Jalen Hurts for $110. What's it now? Like, what do you discount it to now that it's not his number? $30? $20?
$50? I don't know where you start with that. Because he's still here.
Right, but who?
But it's completely out. Like, no one's going to be looking for it.
Yeah, who would pay $50 for a guy that's not even his number? So I wouldn't pay $50 for that. But it will end up being some sort of weird throwback. Anyway, 215-592-9494. That is how you hop in here. I want to, when we get back, we're going to have Mock Draft Mania for you. And we're going to bring up the latest from Todd McShay and break that one down, what the Eagles are doing at number 12. And look at this. As we were getting closer to the draft, you know what we're going to do with this next Mock Draft Mania? We're going to include Todd McShay's second round pick because he did a 2-round mock draft. Like, that's how you know we're creeping towards draft season here. So we're going to do a 2-round mock draft for Todd McShay. And I want to play something for you from an NFL draft prospect from Notre Dame that it's almost as if he is just a Philly guy and wants to endear himself to the city before he even gets considered by the Eagles. You'll hear what he had to say when asked specifically about playing in a city and for a fan base like the Eagles, a linebacker out of Notre Dame. That's coming up. 215-592-9494. That is how you join the show here on a Friday night on Sports Radio 94 WIP. And the tournament is down to just four teams, Gonzaga and Baylor and Houston and UCLA. So if you've been watching from the sidelines, now is your chance to get in on the action. FanDuel Sportsbook, in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, is hooking you up with exclusive 40-1 odds on all four teams left in the bracket, even the favorites. That's right. New users get 40-1 odds on any team to win this round. You can win $200 on a $5 bet. 40-1, 200 on a $5 bet. Look, I love Gonzaga. I've loved them from the beginning of this tournament. I love to continue here in these last games. All you have to do is download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and make sure your first deposit is in to unlock exclusive 40-1 odds. The app is so easy to use, and when you win, you'll get paid in as little as 24 hours. FanDuel Sportsbook is official partner of 94WIP. Just sign up with promo code GILIO so they know I'm saying that's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code GIGLIO. 827 Sports Radio, 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Tucker Bagley's behind the glass. You guys with us, 215-592-9494. That is how you hop in on this Friday night, a night after opening day. There are some baseball games going on. So I'm watching the Marlins Rays in front of me here. Tucker's locked into women's college basketball.
I was.
Yeah, it's over now. Bad beat.
Yeah, I mean, Dawn Staley just couldn't get it done. Unfortunate.
So I've got some baseball going on. We've got women's college basketball. The Final Four comes up this weekend. With Gonzaga is obviously the overwhelming favorite. So a lot going on. 9 o'clock, we'll talk to Bob Wankel, Crossing Broad on the Phillies. And I feel great after yesterday. I mean, that when I watched them yesterday, that felt to me like I was watching a playoff team. That looks like what a playoff team looks like, which is a top-line starting pitcher, an offense that grinds with power. And yesterday wasn't a great day for the offense, but they grinded. They got Freed out of the game, 94 pitches through five innings. I like the approach yesterday. The defense made plays, which I don't think they're a very good defensive team, so I'll welcome this. And the bullpen. I mean, let's just call for what it is. They wouldn't have won that game last year. There's no way they would have won that game last year. They couldn't have. I mean, they won one game last season out of 60 games they played. One, when the starting pitcher left in a tie game. It might be the most remarkable stat I've ever heard. Like, how is that possible? Tie game, it's a coin flip. Like, you're literally flipping the coin and losing every time. It's crazy. That's how bad this bullpen was last year. And yesterday, it wasn't perfect. It wasn't without flaws. It wasn't without a wild inning from Alvarado. But it was scoreless. 3 1/3 scoreless innings from the bullpen. If they're going to get that kind of bullpen from these top four, you know, from the Archie Bradley, Alvarado, Neris, Brogdon combination or something close to it, it's going to be a good team, and a team I believe that has the look of a playoff team. 215-592-9494. All right, we'll get back to all the phone lines, including we need your ideal peanut butter and jelly sandwich. It's funny, I've been looking on Twitter here. We put up some of the questions tonight and our topics and some of the clips of the show. Tucker, you're getting a little bit more support. There are some people out there.
There are dozens of us, Joe.
Yeah, right, dozens. You and dozens others that have never had ever a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Now, one guy, he did message in to say that he would have it if presented it. Like, he's just never had one. It's never, I don't know how it's never happened, but he's never had one. If given to him, he would try it. You won't even go there.
No.
I mean, you're the same person who said you'd swim across the Schuylkill.
I would.
Well, you will. I mean, the Eagles get a first-round pick for Carson Wentz. You are swimming across the Schuylkill. That's happening.
Yeah, I mean, that's a thing. It's very much a thing. Right. I stand by that.
Well, then you will be the only person in the Delaware Valley that has swam across the Schuylkill but not had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I'm confident in that.
I'll swim across the Schuylkill to get away from a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
See,
how about that?
It's one of the most popular sandwiches out there. It's delicious. It is ridiculous. Anyway,
a lot of people have peanut allergies. I mean, it's probably one of the most deadly sandwiches out there, too.
I would say, yeah, I mean, obviously it could be troublesome if you have peanut allergy. They also have sun butter. I mean, there's ways around it. You can have...
Sun butter?
Sunflower seeds. Yeah. My kids had to bring it to... Now, they've kind of loosened...
Sounds bland.
It's actually a little salty. Do you like sunflower seeds?
I do.
Yeah.
Barbecue.
Like, okay, but like the plain ones, there's a salty
right
aftertaste. That's what it is. The texture's the same, right? They get the texture to kind of feel like that. But... So anyway, like when your kids are in school, some schools don't allow the peanut butter, so you got to find a replacement to get the kind of sandwich they want at the school. Sun butter. I had it plenty of times. Actually, I don't mind it. Anyway, 8:30. You know what we do every night at 8:30, except last time we didn't do it because, well, how could we? It was opening day. Yeah, I mean, it was a baseball night. 8:30, we have, of course, mock draft mini. We scrounge up a new mock draft every night around this time. And we break it down from the Eagles' perspective. So tonight, we're going to Todd McShay, ESPN. Here is his latest. And he put out actually a two-round mock draft, which gives us a chance to look at what the Eagles get in the first round and the second round. Here is how the top 12 went in round number one. The Jaguars select quarterback Trevor Lawrence. Number two, the Jets, Zach Wilson, quarterback at a BYU. Number three, McCorkle Jones, quarterback out of Alabama. You think Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch know his first name is McCorkle? Because I don't know. If they knew it, you trade up to number three to get McCorkle?
That's bad.
It seems risky. Mac Jones, number three to Alabama. I mean, from Alabama to the Niners. Number four, the Atlanta Falcons select Kyle Pitts, tight end out of Florida. Number five, the Cincinnati Bengals select Ja'Marr Chase out of LSU. if this is the top five, you know who's going to get, who deserves some credit on draft night? Howie Roseman. Because if he read the room and realized Pitts and Chase would be gone before six, that trade down looks even better. At number six, the Dolphins like Devonta Smith, wide receiver, Alabama. At number seven, how about this trade up? The Carolina Panthers move up one spot, swapping with the Detroit Lions. So Carolina goes to seven, and they take Trey Lance, quarterback out of North Dakota State. The Lions at eight take Jalen Waddle, wide receiver, Alabama. At number nine, the Denver Broncos select Patrick Surtain, quarterback out of Alabama. At number 10, oh no, my guy, J.C. Horn, cornerback, South Carolina, goes to the Dallas Cowboys. I would dread that. J.C. Horn's going to be a star corner. At number 11, wow, we have ourselves a mock trade with the Patriots coming up to take Tucker's guy right in front of the Eagles. So Justin Fields slips down the board. The Giants had the pick at 11. They trade back. The Patriots trade up, and they land Justin Fields, quarterback, out of Ohio State. At number 12, in Todd McShay's latest mock draft, Micah Parsons, linebacker, Penn State, would become the first linebacker selected by the Eagles in the first round since Jerry Robinson about a million years ago. So let's see what McShay said here. This is Todd McShay, ESPN. Let's start with the bad news. As we thought might be the case, the Eagles miss out on the top four pass catchers in the class after a trade out of number six. That's a problem. The wide receiver room has Jalen Reagor, Greg Ward, and Travis Fulgham as the top three options, not leaving quarterback Jalen Hurts in the best position to find success in an evaluation period. But here's the good news. The Eagles hold 11 picks this year, most in the NFL, in a draft with deep receiver class. The 2022 first-rounder received in the trade will certainly prove valuable. And Philly can still land a guy like Parsons here. He could do a little a bit of everything in the middle of this defense. Tucker, the reaction to Micah Parsons, number 12 overall to the Eagles.
I mean, it's shocking, right? And I think if we were to pull Eagles front, I mean, if they took a linebacker in the first round, I would be absolutely stunned.
Me
right?
Too.
Like, that just isn't a position that they value. And last year, we kind of went through the whole Patrick Queen situation saying, hey, they should really take this guy, and I don't even think they even sniffed in that direction. But not only that, Joe, do you know the one name you haven't called yet?
Who would that be?
That would be Oregon offensive tackle Penny Sewell.
Yeah, I think he fell.
Who goes for with the very next pick. Yeah. I mean, same thing. If the top offensive lineman in this draft falls to 12, and he's the guy that I thought if he fell to six, they should run the car to the podium as soon as they're on the clock. I mean, I feel even more urgency at 12 to do the same thing.
Yeah, actually, in his mock draft, he has Sewell and Slater, the two offensive linemen, going 13 and 14. I mean,
if you're going to tell me that the Eagles are going to take an off-ball linebacker ahead of the top two offensive tackles in the draft, I have a hard time believing that's true.
The way this draft played out, it would be shocking if that's the way that. I mean, and again, they haven't taken a linebacker in the first round since Jerry Robinson. Like, until that changes, it's very hard to imagine, especially this high. Like, last year I was talking up the idea of Patrick Queen because they were in the 20s. It was a weird spot. You know, the top receiver's probably gone. They could have done it. At 12, I'd be shocked. All right, let's go to the second round. So McShay went two rounds here. In the second round, after the Eagles missed out on a wide receiver, he has the Eagles taking Rashad Bateman at number 37, wide receiver from Minnesota. And he says, okay, exhale, Philadelphia. The Eagles got a receiver and a good one in the second round after missing out on a top guy in round one. Bateman has a little Juju Smith-Schuster to his game. He is versatile with good hands and underrated speed, and he isn't afraid to work the middle of the field. You know what's interesting about that? There was one top-level or high-level free agent the Eagles did get connected to this offseason. It was Juju Smith-Schuster. They actually made him an offer. He went back to the Steelers. Like, they were connected to Juju Smith-Schuster, a guy that no one kind of projected to be connected to. It's interesting that this receiver, McShay, compares to a young Juju Smith-Schuster. So they go with Parsons round one, Rashad Bateman. This is kind of the Eagles' MO, right? Great receiver class. They get, like, the sixth guy.
Yeah, and Bateman, before the season, was projected to be a first-round pick. Yeah. His stock kind of fell this year. Because I don't even think he played the whole season. When he did, he played pretty well the first couple games, and then he pretty much opted out the second half of the season. But the guy that they miss out on is Javonte Williams, who goes to the Falcons with the 35th pick.
The running back.
I mean, he's a guy, and in a blue-collar city like this who's desperate for a powerful running back?
We need to do the big back big board.
The too. Chili's baby back big back big board. Yeah, I'm aware. We got time. But Javonte Williams is at the top of that list. I mean, if he's available at 37, I would take him over every wide receiver that could be available there.
Yeah, so he would be a very popular pick, the running back that Tucker's talking about, because of the way he plays the game. I want to play something for you here as we wind down Mock Draft Mania after seeing McShay has Micah Parsons at number 12. So there is another player who I admittedly don't know a ton about, other than I watched him play a couple times at Notre Dame, and he's obviously a good player. Linebacker from Notre Dame, probably going to be the second linebacker off the board after Micah Parsons, somewhere I would say in the middle of the first round, maybe late teens or around there. Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah is his name. He's a linebacker out of Notre Dame. And listen to what he said a couple days ago. He was asked specifically about a team like the Eagles, kind of a team-specific, city-specific question, how he would fit in a city like this. You're not going to find many better answers than this when it comes to coming here and maybe playing in Philadelphia. Here is what the Notre Dame linebacker had to say.
Speaking in terms of the Eagles, I think I fit out, fit better than the other guys in terms of my mentality, going back to that. The Eagles is a place that's is a gritty place. You got to be, you got to have some fierceness to you to survive in Philly. You win in Philly, they love you. If you lose in Philly, they hate you. So you got to be able to deal with that. And, coming from my background, even here at Notre Dame, it's a lot of situations that, I had to persevere through. And I think that, first and foremost, my mentality prepares me more than some of the other players in terms of Philly.
I mean, that's a couple things I noticed here. One, that's a quote that we'll talk about for a long time if he gets drafted. The other thing is, was that a shot at Micah Parsons saying he fits this city better than other players in his position? That was interesting. So that was a unique kind of city-specific answer there from the linebacker from Notre Dame, who will be picked probably somewhere in the first round. That was interesting.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.